It's the UNLV Spring Showcase, live from the campus of UNLV. Brought to you by Finley Toyota and Best Mattress. Here are your hosts, Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring.
Back here on an awesome day as we're getting ready for the 2018-19 football season. It all starts here. Well, it really started more than a few weeks ago with spring practice. It's the Rebels getting ready for the opener, which is closer than you think. Time flies in this case. Mike Romal is in with us from the Las Vegas Sun. He covers the Rebels with Cofield and Caleb Herring. So I wanted to get Mike's impression of spring. But before we do any of that, I was saying to you during the break, hey, Coach Sanchez looks pretty chill. And your immediate response was, that'll end quickly.
He's not the type of guy that's on cruise control most of the time at practices and, you know, even a spring football event, which is, you know, supposed to be sort of for the fans, and you go kind of not full speed and you're just sort of, you know, showing the fans, and it's supposed to be sort of a nice, fun event. But one or two bad plays, bad snaps, a couple missed assignments, and the old Tony Sanchez will come out steaming.
Yeah. You expect that, Caleb?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's going to get fired up, especially if the intensity is not where he wants it to be. I mean, he might be relaxed now, but he's just hoping his guys aren't relaxed. So, like, you know, when things actually start going here, they better turn it on too.
But the fans are right next to the field.
No,
he doesn't
filters.
Care.
No filters.
He does not. The fans will know exactly what Tony Sanchez thinks of this practice as it's going on.
Do you feel like with this team, with this group having more experience, has his approach changed at all? Caleb and I were talking last couple of minutes about, you know, the coaches have a different responsibility now. Yeah, they're still teaching like they were, but, you know, getting a team ready a couple of years ago is a lot different than getting this group ready with the amount of experience it has.
I think personality-wise, in terms of, you know, how he manages a practice, you know, he's still kind of he's a hands-on guy. He's running around from position group to position group. He's coaching everyone very hard. I haven't seen any let up on that end. Behind the scenes, maybe there's been some, you know, delegation to assistants. He's big on, you know, we'll bring in someone and let them do their thing. But on the field, to me, he looks like the same guy in terms of the energy he's expending. He always looks like he's working the hardest out of the 100 guys on the field at a practice. He always looks like he's working the hardest.
So as we get set up here for the showcase, I'm going to ask the duh question of the day. I think there'll be initially an easy response. You mentioned, and this is for Caleb, you mentioned that one guy has a don't touch me label on him. Why is that for Armani?
Well, Armani Rogers has been established as the future, the present, the now. He's what makes this engine go. I'm talking offensively. So his health is a priority. I think last year we had a stint where he was not available because of injury. Fortunately, it kind of worked out last year, but you don't want to be put in a situation where you're not at full power. So right now, Armani Rogers is the only person on the field with a black jersey, with a black anything. I don't even see coaches with black on, but he's the only one that's going to be off limits to touch right now.
Are you suggesting one of the coaches is going down and going down hard?
I'm just saying, Coach Sanchez is not going to show mercy to anyone today, and except for maybe Armani, as he throws his first attempt right now, as they're finally going ones versus ones here, offense versus defense. First completion, looks like, for Armani Rogers. But he's going to have that black jersey on, and I can guarantee you that of the things Coach Sanchez will be upset about today, if someone hits the arm or rolls into the leg of Armani Rogers, that will probably almost immediately blow his fuse.
In training camp before last season, it happened once. There was one play during a practice where Farrell Hester came in on a blitz, and he forgot where he was and what was – he forgot the situation, and he popped Armani Rogers onto his back. And practice over, Tony Sanchez running out, F-bomb this, MF for that. And Farrell Hester's family is sitting right behind me, and they're watching practice.
Man.
So Armani Rogers is completely off limits. Don't touch him, don't breathe on him, stay away from Armani Rogers.
So they just ran a couple of plays in the goal line offense. How important is this part of Armani Rogers' game, you know, the touch? Because obviously he can hurl the ball down the field. He can gun it in, you know, from 15, 20 yards away, but this requires touch.
It does.
It's one of the things I think he really needs to work on, right? And I assume Mike, you can answer in a second, but Caleb, go first. So that it's one of the things the coaching staff is concentrating on. That's the next level of his game.
Without a question. He has the arm strength. I just don't know if he's developed it. Well, it remains to be seen, obviously, this year, but if he's developed the control of his arm. He has the power to get it wherever he wants it to. There was a few times last year where, specifically in the Ohio State game, he had receivers that had to step on a guy in the red zone, and he just tries to jam it in there instead of laying it out over the top and letting the receiver run under it. It's an experience thing, definitely. So having a year under his belt of live action will help, but it's definitely something that you can see they're going to focus on. They're starting this live session off with red zone opportunities and seeing what he's going to do with it.
That's pretty much the first thing everyone has been mentioning through spring practice. Tony Sanchez, Barney Cotton, the offensive coordinator, his receivers, his running backs, they've all said, Armani, to take that next step, he's got to be more those intermediate passes. Now, he's got the strong arm, and they want to be a run-the-ball, play-action, take-your-deep-shots kind of team. So they're going to take their shots down the field. But for the next evolution of Armani, he's got to start hitting those move-the-chains type of passes. And they've got the receivers that can run those kind of routes. So I think that's what everyone has wanted to see from him this spring. I've heard good things from the coaches in terms of him hitting those passes and sort of showing more touch, intermediate, better accuracy. And that's really going to be the next step for him to become, the player that he can be.
Let's talk about the position, and we'll get back to Armani in a couple minutes. We just saw Max Gilliam in for a run play, and he's in there again as they run the goal on offense. Mike, tell people about Max's background, and I think he's a highly impressive guy to get in as a transfer based on where he was, and I'm sure the belief that he can play somewhere. And he's committed to the UNLV program knowing that he probably can't get the starting job out of the gates.
Yeah, he's a guy who, if you watching him throughout the spring, not going to blow you away with the arm strength like Armani Rodgers, but generally they like that he knows where he wants to go with the ball in terms of running the offense. He gets it out of his hand quickly. Everything is pretty much on time with Max Gilliam. If Armani Rodgers is, if he's got to step in and play, a full game the way that, the backups had to last year, he's still going to have to show that he can operate, throwing the kind of passes that are designed for Armani Rodgers. But I think they like what they have in terms of the intellect, the ability to run the offense. He's can read a defense. He knows where he wants to go with the ball, and that's all good stuff.
Caleb, what do you think of that throw?
Well, that was a good throw. Like you said,
describe the play for people. Went out to the left side.
Yeah, trips to the left side. Two outs from the inside receivers. A kind of a basic route concept. Two out routes, shallow out routes by the inside receivers with a fade route on the outside. He decided to go to number three, the closest receiver right in the pocket between the linebackers. So you got to kind of put a little mustard on that throw to get in between there. It was a good completion right on the numbers. You don't want to lead him too far and, put him into any danger out there. But ball hit him right in the numbers. I think, unfortunately, one of the things that maybe will get Coach Sanchez upset, there was a fumble on the play. But looks like the offense recovered. But that was a good throw, a good solid throw. Like you said, knowing where to go with the ball. The ball was out under 2 seconds. So it was a really quick decision that he made. A nice, like you said, what you want from a backup is that, being able to come in and run the offense and know where you want to go so there's no letdown as far as execution of the plays. Maybe not as talented as Armani, but definitely knows what he's doing and knows where he wants to go with it.
Has a lofty reputation, certainly did. Was at Cal, Max Gilliam, and many thought when Davis Webb moved on to the NFL and the Giants that Gilliam was going to be the next guy. And that is, Cal is a quarterback factory. So this is a real nice get for this UNLV program to slot in as the backup. From what you know, Mike, if they get in a situation where Armani is out and Max has to go in, how much does the offense change? Because obviously Armani is a massive threat with his feet.
Yeah, that's the main difference is Armani Rodgers, he can run off tackle, like a running back, and he can deliver blows, and he can plow forward, and he can pick up yards that way. And he can also scramble to the outside and be faster and more athletic than defenders and pick up big chunks. I don't think Gilliam is going to be able to do that. He's more of a stay in the pocket, read the defense, throw some touch passes kind of guy. Whereas last year, you had their backups, Kurt Palahniuk, Johnny Stanton, they were able to run most of the offense that Armani could run because they were run-first quarterbacks. They could make plays with their legs. I'm not sure Gilliam is that type of guy. So the disparity between the styles of play is something the coaches are going to have to work into their game plan each and every week because Armani, he takes a lot of hits. He's an upright runner. The odds of him making it through 12 games without missing a snap I don't think are very high. So you're probably going to have to get Gilliam ready to play, and you're going to have packages ready to go in case of emergency. He's going to have to go in there and make something happen.
So the Rebels are running through some special teams drills here, some field goal attempts. I want to talk offensive line first with Mike. Mike, get us updated on the injury situation. I was going to say nothing devastating, but there was a torn ACL, so that's not great. And I wonder what sort of rhythm they can get the Rebel offense in this spring showcase, since they seem to be kind of piecing together, moving guys around, and I don't know that the line is going to, in September, look like it looks today.
Yeah. Justice Olawashan, who is coming into his sophomore year, he was in the mix to be a starter at center or at guard. You know, he moved around a lot last year. He shuffled because of the injuries, and they liked his versatility, and I think he was in the mix, and they were planning on him playing a big role this year. He had the knee injury. He's going to be inactive probably until the fall, and at that point you've got to wonder, is it worth bringing him back, you know, right off a knee injury, or do you redshirt him for the entire season, sort of like they did with Sid Acosta last year, who suffered an injury in spring ball. So they are a little banged up front. The good news is that's probably one of their deeper position groups. It has been for a few years. They've still got some solid guys up there. Zach Singer, who they like, who's playing center and guard, and can move around. He's a very competent player. He played a lot last year. Justin Polu, one of the best offensive linemen in the Mountain West. There are enough building blocks. They can withstand those kind of injuries. In the spring, you've still got time to sort of get over it. I wouldn't be worried about the offensive line. They are definitely banged up there, though.
But we do have to mention, Caleb, that they did lose a massive piece on the offensive line, and that's a big responsibility.
Yeah, definitely the quarterback's best friend at that left tackle spot. Not really to injury, but he's just moved on because he graduated. Kyle Saxley was huge on the left side of that line as far as protecting Armani and whoever was playing quarterback for UNLV. But the left tackle spot is always, as any offensive coordinator would tell you, one of the most, with the quarterback being the head of most teams, the most important part of your offensive line.
Time to go back down to the field as Clay Baker is standing alongside Tony Sanchez.
We are back here for ESPN's live broadcast of the Spring Showcase with head football coach Tony Sanchez. All right, so I love the attention to detail. You want to work on goal line offense first.
Well, yeah, you know, we want to get through a bunch of different situations. Organically, some of that stuff will happen throughout the course of the scrimmage. But, you know, with four guys, we want to make sure they all get the right amount of kicks.
With 4 weeks of practice underway, this looks like a very experienced group, a lot of maturity on the field. It's a workman-like performance going on.
Yeah, you know, it's a great group, and they've been around for a long time, so we're finally a veteran group, like the talent that we have and the work ethic. Guys have done a really good job of coming in, punching in the time card every day, and just going to work, so I think we got a lot of opportunity out there.
Hey, you look around, look at the thousands of people in attendance. What's it like for you to see everyone's fired up to get this thing going?
It's a great community. I mean, people have been great supporting this team, you know, since we've been here and for even longer than that, so we really appreciate the crowd that's out here today supporting our boys, and it's going to be a hell of a year for everybody.
All right, back up here in the booth, Steve Cofield, Caleb Herring, Las Vegas Suns, Mike Grimala. So during the showcase, they continue to go through some special teams work as they're working on field goals from all different distances. A few more notes on the injury front. And again, I think most of these should be settled by the beginning of the season and the opener on September 1st. Wide receivers a little bit dinged up. And now they expect a nice group coming back when everyone's healthy, but Keys down. What's his injury and what's the status of a few other wide receivers, Mike?
Well, Keys is down. Robert Woods has also missed like the last week or so of practice. He was working back in as they were working up to the spring game. Those are the two main guys. You've got four Woods, Keys, Drew Techman, and Brandon Presley are your core four wide receivers heading into the season. So I don't think those are major injuries. I think those guys, it's more of, you know, it's spring ball, give them a chance to recover. Kendall Keys has been through enough in the last couple of years. And it seems every spring and every fall, you know, he's battling through injuries to get back on the field. So there's no point in rushing those guys or pushing them back on the field at this point. I think that Tony Sanchez, you know, when he got here, first couple of years, very tough on wide receivers. They didn't have enough playmakers on the outside. I think they are finally comfortable with the amount of players they have that can catch the ball and run routes. They've got Presley and Techman who seem poised for big years. So I think that they feel good about the wide receiver despite the injuries. I think they feel they can take their time. There's no need to rush anyone out for spring practice. Those guys are veterans. They've been here. They know what they're doing. They'll get them back for camp, and they'll go into the season with the four guys that they are comfortable with.
Caleb, talk about Techman. Sanchez, Tony Sanchez, has been raving about him from a physical standpoint, and just happy that he's appearing to be 100% finally in his career.
That's right. He's a definite playmaker. Early last year, he had a catch against Howard, I believe it was. That was going to be for a huge gain, and Rebels obviously fighting for the win in that game, and I believe he fumbled that play and ended up turning into a devastating play when it could have been a huge play. And he never really got back on track, battling with injuries, and just never really got his confidence back. So he's definitely going to be an addition, a speedster, definitely a playmaker with the ball in his hands. Just get it out to him on a swing pass or something like that. He can make some things happen. So Tony Sanchez is excited about him for good reason. He's one of those receivers that can make special plays, much like Brandon Presley did down the stretch for UNLV. He can be that opposite side like that as the Rebels go to the live session here of the scrimmage, where ones versus ones with the chain gain and all the officials out right now. Incomplete pass on the first play. But
yeah, what did you see on that one?
Oh, it was a basic slant route.
I think was that on the mark or a little too high?
I think it was a safe throw for the coverage that he had. It was a slant route coming into the coverage. Tried to get it over the top of a linebacker who was undercutting it, so safely put it a little bit high, but just through the hands. A little bit off the fingertips, but I would say a good, safe, incomplete pass the way the coverage shaped out there. Completion Mike, there to make it third and short, though, so he made up for it on second down.
Mike, I want to talk defense a little bit. First, defensive line. They're high on some of the replacements for their two great linemen who left the program last year. But they also don't have a full read on what they're going to have on the defensive line because they have so many reinforcements coming in over the summer.
That's been the biggest defensive storyline through spring has sort of been the absence of these junior college transfers, that they've got three guys coming in on the defensive line who may all play, starting roles or big rotational roles. And they're not here yet. They'll be here for fall camp. So the story up front defensively through the spring has sort of been, you guys are getting a chance. The guys that are here, you're getting a chance to show what you can do. Who else can make a name for themselves? Who else can put themselves in the mix for, a big role this season? So that's something to keep an eye on. They haven't had a lot of playmakers up there. They haven't been during Tony Sanchez's his tenure here. They haven't had a lot of athletes or size or speed up front. So they're looking for someone that can make plays, anyone that can sort of make something happen.
If they open the season now, who would be a DT?
I think Dadashian, who is hurt right now, and he's not out there, but I think he's someone who came on strong at the end of last year. I think he would be the favorite based on he knows the system, and the fact that he was one of the few guys who was getting into the backfield sort of on a regular basis last season. He would be the guy that I would look out for out of the guys that are here now.
Real quick, we'll send it back to the studio. The showcase is on. We'll tell you about what's going on offense as Max Gilliam's back in there after a series from Armani Rogers as Gilliam throws deep, can't connect. But we'll give you the story of what's happening here at Peter Johan Field. Caleb Herring alongside. We'll have a bunch of UNLV legends who are walking up in just a few minutes as we move forward on a beautiful Saturday here on the campus of UNLV.
Live from Peter Johan Field on the campus of UNLV, it's the UNLV Spring Showcase, brought to you by Finley Toyota and Best Mattress. Here are your hosts, Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring.
The upper is right in the middle of the first of two 25-minute halves. We got a quarterback royalty in the booth here with me, Caleb Herring, along with former Rebel quarterback Steve Stallworth.
I'm flattered.
Why are you pointing? Steve's pointing to himself. You're royalty. You're royalty. So let's get right into it before we do some overview stuff about the UNLV football program. We just watched Xavier Campbell bust off about a 50-yard run, and at the end there was a face mask. I can only imagine what Tim Skipper and the other defensive coaches were thinking on that play. What did you guys see?
Well, like you said, Xavier Campbell busting through the line is pretty much – the run game for UNLV has been consistent for the past few years, and Xavier's been here for it, also behind an experienced offensive line that's got some heavies up front with the aforementioned defensive line trying to struggle to find some replacements. So that's pretty much the result you're going to get, some huge gains. What you don't like, though, at the end of it is a penalty. Add in the face mask, insult to injury. You already give up a big run. No need to add the laundry on the field with it. So, like we said earlier, Coach Sanchez, the blood pressure's raising a little bit right now with some of those mistakes going on down there.
Now we got red zone time. So what's up, Steve?
How we doing, Stevie? Thanks for having me on. It's a beautiful day out here, and just love the scene here at the soccer field. It's awesome.
This is very cool. How much different is spring practice now from your days? You start laughing.
Well,
am I setting you up?
Steve, right, all the old guys, right, it was always tougher when we played, right? Oh, you guys never did the stuff we did and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's sort of true. We've cut down on tackling and the physicality, and you guys used to beat the snot out of each other.
Yeah, 100%, Steve. And, you know, back then there was no 20-hour rule. So, you know, spring ball for us was almost like two-a-days. You know, you'd show up in the morning, the skill guys, and then, boom, the afternoon, your full pads. And you know, spring ball was a war. Spring ball was when you set the depth chart for that next year. So a lot of hitting, a lot of physicality. It really, really was. And, of course, all those rules have changed, probably for the better. You know, you're not getting kids hurt as much and everything else, but it was always a fun time. We always had a great time with Harvey Hyde, because what Harv would do is he would take the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator and have a draft. So now it really was kind of a true scrimmage. You know, and it was fun, right? It was never the ones versus the twos or the twos versus the ones or what have you. So that was always a great time back in our day.
So let's talk about the progress of the program. How you feeling?
Well, progress, Steve. It's a tough one, right? I mean, back in 84, of course, we all talk about went to the California Bowl, and we've gone to maybe three bowls since then or what have you. I can tell you this. When I walk on that sideline, I mean, I haven't seen the depth and the size in a few years like we have right now. So there's no question Tony has beefed up that part of the program. I love what he's doing with the strength program, with Coach Manny, their nutrition program now. I think all of those little things that maybe some of the coaches didn't pay attention to, Tony has paid attention to. You know, not to mention the facility, which we've talked about that enough. But I think, you know, you guys talked about it. If we can shore up the defense a little bit, Caleb, get that going. And then, of course, I don't care what level of football you're at Pop Warner or in the NFL. If you don't have the trigger guy make some plays, it don't matter. So you've got to have that quarterback this year make some plays and lead that team.
We talked earlier about the changing standards in the market with the Vegas Golden Knights, right? And full proof, there's no doubt now, if you win in this town, tens of thousands of people will show up, which is exciting for Rebel football. And I've always believed that, hey, you put together some consistent winning and people are going to come out.
Yes, Steve, no doubt about it, man. That's and that's true in any town, and especially Vegas, though, isn't it?
Just had a pick. Caleb, you were tracking that. What happened on that play?
Well, you had the inside seam route. I think that was Gilliam made the right read on the throw. He just underthrew it. I think the man had on the seam, had the safety beat. That was number 15 at safety on the play, Soli Afalava. I probably butchered that, but he will forgive me, I'm sure. But
got time to practice.
Made a great play undercutting that, intercepted it on just the right read. Like we said, we talked about Gilliam earlier. That was maybe a 20, 25-yard throw. We talked about him earlier making the right decision and knowing where he wants to go with the ball. That was a case of knowing exactly where he wanted to go, but a little bit underthrown. And at this level of football, the little mistakes get magnified. And maybe that was an incomplete pass, you know, last year for him at Saddleback. But in Division I football, that's an interception, and now you're having a conversation with your coach. Fortunately for him, it's a spring game, so he just gets to go back out and do the next play. But in the real situation, you're on the sideline for that next series for at least a couple plays having to deal with it. And instant payback here. The offense comes out and runs a reverse, doesn't get much out of it. But, yeah, like you said, those kind of throws, the right decision, just had to execute a little better with the throw.
We have not mentioned the new football facility that's on the way for both of you guys. Steve, you can answer first. Steve Stallworth's with us here in the booth here at Peter Johan. Caleb Herring alongside Steve Cofield. What sort of game changer is it, and why is it needed?
You know what? It's interesting, Steve. When I got recruited here, Harvey Hyde had a big billboard right at the old locker room, and it said "Future Home of Rebel Football Complex." So, even back when I was being recruited, and then of course I watched for 5 years that I was here. Every year for recruiting, Coach would put that billboard back up. You know, why is it important? I mean, it's the whole keeping up with the Joneses thing, right, Steve? Do we really need it? No, you really don't. But it's all about recruiting now. You know,
But you do need it then, right?
You do, exactly.
I mean, there's really nothing unnecessary if kids are going to other campuses and they're wowed by palaces. You have to keep up with them.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, kids nowadays, they get 5 trips, and, of course, they get unlimited unofficial trips. So they're seeing more schools now than they've ever seen in the past that these other kids have seen. And, you know, it is a big deal. There's no question about it. The stadium will be a big deal for recruiting. I don't know how great that's going to be for the university financially, depending on how all that shakes out. But certainly recruiting, that's got to help that they get to play in a stadium like that. And you know what I heard, Hope, Steve? You talked about the Golden Knights raising the level. You know, it's not just the winning, right? But it's that level of commitment that you make if you want to be successful. And you know, Tony's got that commitment. The people around Rebel Football have that commitment. But I hope the university sees what's happening over there at T-Mobile. I hope they see what you got to do to put that product on the field, on the ice, and the product, you know, as far as the energy and the entertainment and all the other things you got to do. It's a commitment from A to Z, man. I don't care if it's the president of the university down to the equipment guy. You know, you got to have that level of commitment all across the board.
Caleb, talk about the facility.
Well, I think it's, like we said, it's the biggest draw is for recruiting, and that's huge. I mean, it goes a long way towards maybe not getting the number one recruits in the state or anything like that, but getting the guys within the conference, because the other teams in the conference have kind of left us behind over the years as far as the facilities go. And I think when you have a city like Las Vegas, like we said, you get 5 visits, I think it is now, as a recruit coming into college for your scholarship offer. You get 5 visits. A lot of kids will tell you, and this is how I think Vegas can steal some of these recruits. A lot of people will take a trip to Vegas, to UNLV, just because they want to get a free trip to Vegas. And I can speak to people that I knew personally at the time who just wanted to come to Vegas for the trip. A free trip to Vegas, all expense paid. Who knows what you're going to be able to do, you know,
it's
as
like,
an 18-year-old
kid. It's like
that
kid. With Hawaii.
Yeah,
Hawaii
definitely.
Has that advantage
exactly.
as well. Yeah.
And then so they come out here. Do we have anything that grabs their attention? And I think with this facility coming up, I think that's going to be an attention grabber for the recruits. Oh, yeah, you got to come see the strip, but did you see that weight room? Did you see that barbershop that they have right there on campus, off the locker room, off the west wing? Like, those kind of things stick in an 18-year-old mind. The kids will remember that, and their parents will too. So it's a huge draw for recruiting.
We have a kid here, our offensive lineman, Chato Garcia, Julio. And I asked Julio, I said, Julio was a Gorman kid, grew up with my son. I said, Chato, why did you come to UNLV? He goes, oh, Mr. Stallworth. He said, Coach told us when this place is built, we get to eat as much as we want, and we get free haircuts. So you never know.
I laugh, but that
it's
is
true.
I'm telling
it's,
you.
That I think Oregon was the first school that I saw with, like, the
yeah.
gold barber chair.
Right.
And as, you know, as an older person, you're like, really?
And it's one of those
what
things
they're into.
When you're in college, you don't realize how much a haircut means to you until you can't get one, you know, readily and conveniently for yourself. Like, I remember when I was here, I had to travel 20 miles, you know, to the other side of town just to get to a barber that I felt, you know, was cutting my hair the right way. So having a barber
QB
on campus,
quarterback move.
Oh, yeah,
quarterback move.
No, we have
to
look
go to the right
best.
Place.
It
man.
Has to be the right barber. Not just anybody can touch this scalp, you know. So, you know, having that barber, that's one of those things that goes a long way for an 18-year-old kid who's just trying to make a decision that's going to be, you know, fun for him, entertaining, have some value, and he can have a good time in college. That's huge for 18-year-old kids.
I'd come here just to make sure they can do the work on the head to cover the bald spot. A little different when you're approaching 50 or so. Steve Stallworth with us, and Steve Cofield, Caleb Herring alongside as we're at Peter Johan Field watching the first half of the showcase. I want to talk quarterbacks. We love talking quarterbacks, especially when you had got a guy like Armani Rogers. So, Steve, as you watch Armani now in year 2 in terms of growth, what do you see? What's next level for him?
Well, next level, I think, is just consistency, right? I mean, you got to just make sure every time you throw the ball, your motion's proper, your technique's proper, and I think that's it for him. I mean, we saw him, you know, last year. I mean, golly, he looked like Joe Montana on 2 or 3 plays, and then the next 2 or 3 plays, he looked like, you know, Jersey Joe on the sweet pass. So I think that's just it for him, and it just comes with reps. He's gotten plenty of reps now. He knows the game. He's gotten knocked around a little bit, and hopefully he can just be consistent this year.
Back to the facilities, I want to – because you're great on the overview of Las Vegas. It is good that the economy's back on track, because part of impressing people when they come to Vegas is all the new buildings, the beautifying the change, the transformation of what's going on around campus. You know, it does help an awful lot. Because you are competing with some other campuses that are absolutely beautiful. We are going to let you run. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're
going
to go down to the field.
Much.
I think we've got another spot here with Tony Sanchez in about 30 or 45 seconds when you give me the heads up.
And don't tell Jersey Joe I dogged a sweet pass when he gets in here.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to tell him.
Steve, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your guys' support.
Totally
and,
appreciate it.
Caleb, you're doing a fantastic job, man.
It.
Way
thank
to represent
you,
the QB.
Rising
man.
Star. We got to hold on to him.
QB Nation.
Might be out of here soon. He's going to have TV making the call on national radio here. So running a little more offense as Max Gilliam back on the field. Check that. Was that actually Grayson on a keeper?
I think that was Grayson. It looked like he was on a keeper there.
Yep. All right, we are going to go down to Clay Baker, who's with UNLV head coach Tony Sanchez.
All right, we are live here with head football coach Tony Sanchez. All right, your first impressions of the first half so far?
Well, there's been some good things. I mean, Armand's come out and made some good reads. We have too many drop balls right now. Defense is flying around, got a big turnover, so that's good to see. Campbell had the one nice long run. So some good give and take. Like to see the offense put together some more drive. I mean, it's either something big or a three and out, so we got to do a better job there being more consistent. But we'll go back, watch it on film. I'm sure we're going to see the good, bad, and the ugly.
What about the offensive line, though? Firing off the ball, good pass protection so far. That's something you got to be happy to see.
Yeah, it's a veteran O-line group, and we got a couple guys banged up and out. But I tell you what, these guys are doing a really good job right now, so it's good to see them protect the quarterback.
There's a lot of attention to detail, but there's a lot of intensity going on that you've been instilling. What are you telling the guys in the huddles just back and forth with them?
I can't say it on the air, but sometimes I get fired up. The whole thing, you got to execute. I mean, the thing we want to eliminate is us getting in our own way. So, make the defense stop, you got to catch those balls, extend drives, get those first downs. Defensively, you get in third down situations, got to get off the field.
Last thing, there's a real intensity for a run-pass option. You guys have really picked up the tempo. How important is that for you to pick up the tempo?
Well, it is. I mean, that's kind of, Lenz Torimani and his skill set and Max. I mean, those are dual threat guys. They can give the defensive fits by the way they run the ball. And at the same time, when you add that RPO to it, they got to play it true.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks to Clay Baker. Coach Tony Sanchez. Back to the action on the field here at the Rebel Football Spring Showcase. Miss ID'd. The third quarterback who's in the game, that keeper before we threw down to Clay, was actually local from Liberty, true freshman, Kenyon Oblad, who is now running the offense. I like this story. First of all, I was surprised to hear that, I don't know if it hasn't happened with Tony Sanchez, but the fact that Kenyon is on campus early.
Yeah.
Right? That is a gigantic deal. Like, he could still be in high school right now.
Yeah.
That is a gigantic deal as you build a program. Because most major programs out there are going to have at least five or six kids who finish high school early now and get to play in college football with a head start.
And it goes a long way it speaks to his character, first of all, that he was able to graduate early. So that goes a long way. As he goes deep here, a one-handed grab. I don't know if he stayed in bounds. Incomplete. Almost a one-handed bomb caught there, which would have been great for Oblad's confidence.
That was a beautiful throw.
Beautiful throw.
And I think the receiver just kind of lost the ball for a second.
Yeah.
That was right on the money from true freshman Kenyon Oblad.
Man, stuff like that you get to do in the spring instead of having to wait. Because in the fall, the benefit of coming in the spring, first of all, for a freshman quarterback, in the fall you're not going to get very many reps. I think especially behind Armani and with Gilliam coming in, in the fall it's going to be pretty much ones and twos as far as the quarterback rep situation goes. So in the fall you're not going to get many college reps. But if you come in the spring, you get to show out a little bit in the showcase and show everybody why you're here. He's getting some reps right now in the first half of the spring showcase and almost completed the first touchdown pass from about 35 yards deep.
Little rollout there. Run pass option. Completion on the money. Good touch. Goes for about 3 yards. So when Steve Stallworth was on, you made the point about recruiting and said, hey, listen, the biggest guys, the highest level recruits in Las Vegas, you may not get them. I think it's a possibility down the road, but it's steps, right? And you mentioned something really important. The first step is put the fence around Vegas and don't allow kids to leave within the conference.
Right.
And Oblad's a really good example. You don't want kids going to San Diego State. You don't want them going to Boise Well, BYU, another team that you want to, another program you want to block kids from going to, but BYU was on his list. We know Colorado State is very well funded, successful program. CSU was on his list, and so was San Diego State.
Right, and that's pretty much protect home court when it comes to the guys you got in your own backyard. You need to make sure there's a funnel at least to get most of them. I mean, you might maybe not going to get them all, but you want to start chipping away at getting most of them. There's no reason for there to be a universe. Can you imagine, like, how much of a heartbreak it was when the first, like, number one recruit from Texas didn't go to a Texas university? Like, those schools, especially speaking of the University of Texas, when the Longhorns were dominating college sports, every major star in Texas high school football had a check mark. If Texas Longhorns offer me a scholarship, I'm going to the University of Texas. UNLV's not there. I don't know how long it would take for them in the process to get to that level.
But they have to get to the level where Donnell Pumphrey isn't leaving to go to compete directly against them.
Exactly. It would be almost an insult to that point where somebody goes to compete within the conference of your hometown university. That's where UNLV needs to get first. That's the first step in the process, I think.
First half in the books. Another 25 minutes is on the way. We'll send it back to the Finley Toyota Studios. Thanks to Finley Toyota for backing us up here on the live broadcast around the Rebel Football Spring Showcase. Also thanks to Best Mattress. Caleb Herring's back with us. It's Steve Cofield. We'll have more UNLV-related guests. We'll have more live spots from the field. Clay Baker doing an awesome job. But right now back to the studio for a quickie here in return for the second half of action.